Good evening. This is such a privilege and an honor to be here this evening. When we prayed before the service, and it was just it was the fulfillment of something that I've longed to do, to be honest, since I came here 7-8 years ago. This church has a very special place for me and my family. We've had a very close family wedding here. Just in the back on one of the spots on the carpet over there, I had a very significant conversation with someone as I was discerning my call to ministry. So it's a very precious place, this, to me. And I bring greetings. I've always wanted to say that. I bring greetings from NCS. We genuinely are praying for you here, and you are very precious to us at NCS. And we cheer you on, and we love seeing what God is doing in and through you, and we will continue to do that as we go forward. Of course, I was here on Thursday evening when we got to dress up in our fineries as Tom was licensed. That was such a privilege to be here. And I often at licensing, the bishop wears the little pointy hat, doesn't he? He didn't wear the pointy hat for your licensing. the only reason I'm a bit disappointed, because you know what that signifies, don't you, that pointy hat? It signifies the Holy Spirit, the flames of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And it's a kind of reminder that we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And obviously he didn't wear it, but that's why they wear those. And I will speak for longer than a minute, but really my message this evening is there is never more a time or a need for the church of God to be filled with his Spirit. That's it. Be filled with the Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. There's never more a time for his church to be filled with the Spirit because of what's going on in the world and because of, I think, where we've been, what we've been through for the last year or so as a church. It's been hard. But like I said when Tom asked me that question about NCS, I think it's a real time of opportunity for us to get back on our knees again and cry out to him and just declare our need of the Holy Spirit to shape us and to change us and to lead us into the place where he's calling us to. And I think that is true for all of his church. In a moment, I'll read the passage from Acts 2, which we've heard a little bit about already. But I just want us to, right at the beginning of this, maybe you've already started doing this, I'd love us to be just saying in our hearts now, yes, Holy Spirit, yes to you. Come, Holy Spirit, just be saying yes to him in your hearts. That really is the message to us this evening. Are you prepared to say yes to the Holy Spirit and to all that he wants to do in your life? And then what he wants to do through his beautiful church here at STC. It's what I'm saying to NCS. Sheffield, one of the things the bishop said on Thursday night was, Sheffield needs a strong STC. I couldn't agree with him more. I think Sheffield needs a strong NCS. Sheffield needs a strong church. A church that is filled with the Spirit of God. A church that stands up for who God is and knows who God is, knows who they are, and in the power of the Spirit proclaims the gospel and the truth of the good news to people. Sheffield needs that. One of the prayers that I've been praying recently has been, in Sheffield as in heaven, you know, a play on the Lord's Prayer. Lord, let your kingdom come in Sheffield as in heaven. Let the things of heaven break into Sheffield now. So Acts 2, these are excerpts from Acts 2. A familiar story, and I just want to say a few things from this this evening. So when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven.
When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." I always find it funny that Pentecost happens at the same time as Eurovision Song Contest. She's Swedish, but we hear her singing in our own language. You know, it's all those different languages coming together. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" And then jumping to verse 42, which is the outworking, if you like, of the coming of the Spirit on the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I wonder what you think about when you hear the words Holy Spirit, when you hear the Holy Spirit mentioned. What's your experience of the Holy Spirit? Have you had an experience? Have you felt something? Some of us do, some of us don't. It's not all about the feeling. But what is your experience of the Holy Spirit? What do you think of? Do you have a memory? Do you go back to a time, a particular time, when you experienced the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit mean to you? If you are a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in you. He's there already. You and I, if we're followers of Jesus, he lives within our hearts. But Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. And I'm sure as you know that that word means continuously. I noticed that when I watched back your talk last week, Tom, you use a lot of Greek. I don't think I can compete. But the Greek word here means to be filled continuously. Keep being filled. It's not a one-off event. Keep being filled. That's Ephesians 5:18. Dwight Moody, D.L. Moody, a famous evangelist who influenced Billy Graham and through whom many people came to faith. The story goes that once a woman came up to him and said, rather curtly, "Are you filled with the Holy Spirit, sir?" To which he replied, "Madam, I am, but I leak." We need to continuously be asking to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. The prayer of the Puritans was, "O Lord, baptize us afresh, empower us afresh, empower us." But the person of the Holy Spirit can be ignored. We can ignore the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can also please the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so pleased this evening as we come and we focus our attention on him, as we focus our attention on God. It pleases the Holy Spirit when we do this, when we come and worship the Lord together. So my simple task this evening is to encourage us to say yes to the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's something you do every day, but say yes to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I welcome you in my life. Come, Holy Spirit. I remember not long after I'd become a Christian, I read a book that introduced me to the Holy Spirit. Like I say, when you become a Christian, you are, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you straight away. That's what Scripture tells us. And I became a Christian. Actually, I went on a mission to tell other people about Jesus. And then I realized that when I was on this mission, I didn't actually know him. And I became a Christian as I went on mission. Some of you will know the person who led my team, Baz Gascoigne, was the person. He was the person that influenced me, and I saw in him something different. Anyway, I came home from that mission, and my mum, who wasn't a Christian at the time, she wrote in her diary, "Mike's back, and he's a bit different." And she showed me her diary entry that she'd written, and I think she was a bit worried about me because she wasn't a Christian at the time, but she saw something different in me. And when you become a follower of Jesus, the Spirit is within you, and he is starting to change you and transform you. He's already doing that, but he wants to do more. And I have to say that my interest in the Holy Spirit was, as I said, become a Christian, but I kind of kept him a bit at arm's length. I read a book called Miracle Valley. I don't know if any of you have read that. It's all about Hollybush Farm near Thirsk in North Yorkshire, a place where there was a real revival over, I think it probably was in the 90s. And I read this book and I was fascinated. I'd never read about the Holy Spirit working in people's lives and about miracles and people being healed. I'd never heard about the gift of tongues. I'd never heard anything like that. And I was reading this book. And me and my mate at the time, we'd get tapes from Hollybush and we'd sit in a room and we'd listen to these tapes and go, oh, look, there's someone speaking in tongues. You know, we'd just be listening to the tape. It was fascinated us that this happened, that the Holy Spirit worked in this way. But it was at arm's length. Do you know what I mean? I was intrigued, but it was at arm's length. I don't know if you've ever been to Covent Garden and you've seen those street entertainers at Covent Garden. I remember once we went there as a family and we got there a little bit early and the street entertainer was setting themselves up. And in order to drum up a bit of business, to get a few more people around, this street entertainer said, anyone want to come and just come and help me and come forward? It's the last thing I want to do. I, you know when street entertainers try and get someone up to help them, the last thing I want to do. And to my shame, I think I probably hid behind one of my children. It was probably Joel, Mike. It probably wasn't you. But I think I hid behind one of my children at the time, so I wasn't picked. I was very happy to watch this street entertainer do his thing. There's no way I wanted to get involved. And I was a bit like that with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you have been a bit like that with the Holy Spirit. You're intrigued, you're interested, but you just want to keep your arm's length. But Sheffield needs a church that doesn't keep the Holy Spirit at arm's length. Sheffield needs a church that is filled with the power, that is all in, is saying every day, come Holy Spirit, come fill me, come empower me, come change me, come transform my life, come and work through our church so that we can be blessed, to be a blessing to the city, to the people around us, to our neighbours, to our work colleagues, to the people that you and I will see this time tomorrow. Sheffield needs people who are filled with his Spirit. Romans 12 says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. And one of the words for the Holy Spirit is as a helper, God helping you. This is the Message version. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life and place it before God as an offering. The Holy Spirit wants to be our helper in the everyday nuts and bolts of life. Jesus said this about himself. In Luke 4, remember at the beginning of his ministry, he stands there and he goes, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, if I am filled with the Holy Spirit, that passage is true about you and me. So the Spirit of the Lord is on you. He has anointed you to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent you to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, the recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, I want us to picture those followers of Jesus in the room. Remember that Pentecost is 50 days after the resurrection, 10 days after the ascension of Jesus, where he's gone to be in heaven. And Jesus says to them, go into the city and wait there for me to send the gift of the Holy Spirit to you. Picture those people, those followers of Jesus in that room waiting for this gift. What was it that took them from that safe place of worship in the home? And it also says that they were worshiping in the temple, praising God in the temple. What was it that took them from that place out into the streets? It was the filling of the Holy Spirit, wasn't it? It was Pentecost. It was when the Holy Spirit came upon them that they went from their safe places of worship into the streets, into the neighborhoods, and boldly proclaimed the gospel. There's many ways in which the Holy Spirit works in our lives, but I just want to focus on two. Firstly, he affirms us and assures us of the truth of the gospel. And secondly, he gives us passion and power to live it out. So firstly, he affirms and assures us. Without the Holy Spirit, you and I will not navigate the shifting culture that you and I find ourselves in now. Culture is shifting. Attitudes towards the church are shifting. Without the Holy Spirit within us, affirming us, telling us who we are, reminding us of who God is, reminding us of our identity as his beloved sons and daughters, without that Holy Spirit indwelling within us daily, we will struggle to navigate the cultural shifts that we're finding ourselves in today. We won't have the resilience to stay faithful. When we see the failure of the church, some of the failure of the church, when we see the failure of some leaders, when we see the opposition to the church, when we find our own walk with Jesus to be stumbling, when our expectations aren't met of what we thought it was going to be like, we're in danger of what John Tyson, a pastor in New York, says is a failure of nerve. For us to have that strength, that ability to withstand and to be resilient as the church of God, we need the Holy Spirit more than ever to be filling us and reminding us of who we are. Just think about that group of followers of Jesus and what they have been through over the last few days. Think what they've been through. Particularly think about Peter. Peter, called by Jesus to be his follower, but not just called into the 12, called into the inner circle, the three. Look at what Peter has seen, the miracles he's seen, the teaching he's heard from Jesus, the people coming to faith, the people being healed. Think of what he's seen. Think about Palm Sunday, all the crowds praising Jesus, and he's there with him. He's there with the man of the moment. But then the shift in culture. And a week later, how the crowds change. And look what happens to Peter in that place. All it takes is a young girl around a fireplace to say, "You were with him, weren't you? I recognize your accent." For him to crumble and deny Jesus. He'd walked with Jesus for 3 years. He'd seen all that. And yet look what it took for him to crumble and deny him. You and I are living in a time of cultural shift where the crowds are changing in their attitude towards Jesus, in their attitudes towards the church. But this is a real time of openness as well. An opportunity for the Spirit of God to move within his church and for us to become the church that God has called us to be, to stand up and be strong. But we will not be able to do it without the infilling of the Holy Spirit, without that change within us that comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. In my own walk with Jesus, one of the most humbling realizations of this last year is so much of what is normal, what was normal in our worshiping life, you know, being able to worship in church, being able to sing, being able to gather with people, as that is stripped away, one of the most difficult realizations for me was the poverty of my relationship with God. How much I depended on those things that were taken away. The only thing I could do was to get down on my knees and say, "I need you, God. I'm sorry that I have put other things and made other things more important than you." This is the opportunity that we find ourselves in at this time as a church. For us to get down on our knees again and say, "Lord, we need you. Fill us again. Empower us. Help us to be the church that you've called us to be." Peter was struggling. He'd been disappointed. His expectations had been shattered. This wasn't what he signed up for. Then began his restoration. That time on the beach, beautiful story, isn't it? When he's on the beach and Jesus is cooking breakfast for him. And he really starts to reinstate Peter. Will you feed my sheep? And then time with Jesus and after his resurrection. Then he ascends, as we say, to heaven. And then they're meeting in this room, worshipping Jesus. But what gives him confidence to leave that room and face those same crowds that a week before, or a few days before, had been antagonistic towards Jesus? I often wonder if that girl who was around the campfire, that young girl who said, "You were one of them," I wonder if she was in the crowd at Pentecost. But what changed him for him to spill out of that place of safe worship onto the streets to proclaim boldly who Jesus is and that people can be saved? It was the filling of the Holy Spirit. And let me ask us, humbly ask us, why do we think we are any different to Peter in our need? He walked with Jesus and he stumbled. He was next to Jesus. He was one of the three and he stumbled. How do you and I think we are any less in need than Peter of the filling of the Holy Spirit to be able to walk well with him? We need the Spirit. We cannot afford to keep the Spirit at arm's length. He gives us confidence in our identity as sons and daughters of the Father, as adopted brothers and sisters of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is who will remind you and me what matters. He'll remind us of those times we've had with Jesus in the past. He'll recall those times. He'll guard our hearts from the deceit that will sometimes come our way from things we read or things that people say. He's a bit like the Holy Spirit's a bit like a person who walks beside us, like an invisible person who walks beside us and says, "You are loved. You are loved. You are precious to God." You know, as we're going through life, "You are my beloved son. You're my beloved daughter." The Holy Spirit's like that, a personal assistant walking alongside us, speaking to us all the time, reminding us, "You are loved. You are equipped for this. You know that person over there? They're loved by me. Go and talk to them. Go and bless them. You know that thing that person just said to you? It's not true. It's not true. Don't take it to heart." Around that campfire, when that girl came to Peter, what mattered to Peter was what that young girl said to him. That's what he took notice of. After Pentecost, what mattered to Peter was what the Holy Spirit said to him. What the Holy Spirit reminded him of. The only soundtrack that matters to you and me is the soundtrack of heaven. And the Holy Spirit is the one who will play that soundtrack. If you don't mind just putting up the first slide, I wonder if anyone recognizes this. The first slide on... Who recognizes this? You show your age when you recognize this. I know Tom's a little bit older than me, so he will recognize that. They missed that. They all believed it, I think. Sony Walkman. I remember when I got my first Sony Walkman. I was working in London. I was a teacher in London. And it was a revelation. We're all used to it now, aren't we? We can just stick music in our ears. We can walk around. We can have music wherever we want, Spotify and everything like that. Believe it or not, there was a time when you couldn't do that. And when the Sony Walkman came out and you were able to put this on the side and put your earphones in and then go places with music, it was a revelation. And I remember walking through London back. I was a primary school teacher in London and walking home from my school and putting this music on, and it changed the way I saw the city. Do you know what I mean? Soundtracks, music changes the way you see things. I mean, think of a movie soundtrack. Think of your favorite movies and think of the soundtracks, you know, that make those movies. Darth Vader's Death March wouldn't be the same, would it, without Darth Vader walking wouldn't be the same without Darth Vader's Death March. The Mission wouldn't be the same without beautiful soundtrack. Think about whatever it is, your film. Music changes the way you see things. I'm walking along and I'm, you know, if you're listening to some heavy metal, it changes the way you feel, doesn't it? You know, like, argh! You might pick up your pace a bit. If you're listening to classical music, you kind of sort of saunter a lot. It changes the way you see things. The soundtrack of heaven changes the way you see things. We need to learn to listen to the soundtrack of heaven. It will change the way you and I see people. You know, he'll whisper to us about a person. It changes the way you see things. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit to hear his soundtrack. You know those beautiful words in Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord rejoices over you with singing. That's the soundtrack of heaven, and it never stops. I remember when my children were born and putting them to bed and putting them as babies down in the cot and singing over them. And I remember God saying to me, this is what I do over you. You know, in the way that you love your children, I love you. And I'm singing over you now. And the Holy Spirit, as we seek him, as he fills us, he will remind us of that song of heaven that has been sung over us. And we need to be reminded of this for us to be able to be the church that God has called us to be. Jesus' baptism, this is my son whom I love. The soundtrack of heaven has spoken over Jesus. Before he did anything, wasn't it? We know this. And then he went into the desert, and the first thing the devil went after him on was that truth that had been sung over him. Are you really God's son? Are you really? Will he really? Is that really who you are? And that's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we hear, you are his beloved daughter. You are his beloved son who he loves. Again, John Tyson, this quote says, we are heading into a moment in our culture where theology and ideas will not be enough. You need the power of God. The future of the church is a spirit-filled future. The filling of this Holy Spirit gave Peter boldness, confidence in who he was. And then secondly, I didn't ask you how long I could speak for, Tom. I'm really sorry. A few hours. I won't go on a lot longer. This is my last point. The Holy Spirit, secondly, gives us passion and power. We see that in Peter's boldness, don't we, as he spills out from that place of worship onto the streets and he passionately and with power declares the truth of the gospel. The change in him where the Holy Spirit is speaking to him, and that's what matters rather than the crowd. And what I want to, the reason I read that passage, Acts 2:42, which talks about the fellowship of believers, you know, that very well-known passage about they had everything in common and they shared things. The reason I wanted to read that was because I think sometimes we get a bit focused at Pentecost on the event of Pentecost, but what really captured the hearts and minds of people was the outflowing of that, what happened as a result of Pentecost, that community of believers that came from that event. That's what captured people's hearts. A community filled and continuously being filled by the Holy Spirit. And we read about that there were signs and wonders. They had a unity of having things in common. A Christian community empowered by the Holy Spirit becomes a foretaste of heaven. And we, you and I, we become a signpost to what heaven will one day be like. Heaven breaks in to the present in spirit-filled people, in spirit-filled churches. We become a foretaste of that which will one day be fully realized, breaks into the present now in his people who seek the Holy Spirit and who are filled by the Holy Spirit, in his church that is filled by the Holy Spirit. Some of you may know an author called Michael Frost. He often writes with Alan Hirsch. And I love this analogy that he has. He talks about us being trailers for the movie. The movie being the kingdom of heaven that one day will be. And he says, you know, when you go to a cinema, we haven't been able to go to a cinema, have we, for so long. Cineworld's just opened again, by the way. So good. You know, you go to the cinema and you sit in there and the trailers are start on. And you may be sitting with someone you've gone to the cinema with, and you see the trailer, and you go, you, if you like it, you nudge the person next to you, and you go, you know that film? I want to see that. That looks really good. you want to go and see that? Yeah, I'd love to. I want to see the full pitch film. And he says, you and I are like that, as spirit-filled Christians, that we're like trailers to the film. That when people see our lives, when they see the Spirit working in and through us, they go, I want to see the fullness of that. I want to be in that. I want to see what that looks like in its fullness. We're like trailers to the fullness of the kingdom of heaven. That's why in the Lord's Prayer we pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Come down from heaven. Break into earth now. And I've been praying recently, your kingdom come in Sheffield as in heaven. Come down, break through. Come in power. Fill your church. Equip us, Lord, that your kingdom may break through, that people may see a foretaste of that beautiful heavenly place that one day will be fully realized, but they'll see a foretaste now in your church. Simon Ponsonby, who's the vicar at St. Aldgate's, Oxford, says this: we must be careful not to pray, come Holy Spirit, unless we're prepared to go with the Holy Spirit. We must be careful not to pray, come Holy Spirit, unless we're prepared to go with the Holy Spirit. I don't often say this next line, but there's some Anglican liturgy that I really love. And this is the one that I love. I've got it on a piece of paper in my office. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you. It's a great prayer. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire. Don't you love that? Set our hearts on fire. Do you want your heart to be set on fire with the love of God? Do you want the Holy Spirit to set your life on fire? You know, John Wesley, apparently this isn't, probably wasn't him, but which I'm a bit disappointed by, but famously he was meant to have said, someone came to him and said, what's the secret of your success? He says, I set myself on fire with the Holy Spirit and people come and watch me burn. It was great. William Sangster, who was a Methodist minister, apparently as well, he was interviewing a candidate for the Methodist ministry. And this person who was being interviewed for the Methodist ministry said, I'm not the sort of person who could set the Thames on fire. And apparently Sangster said to him, my dear young brother, I'm not interested to know if you can set the Thames on fire. What I want to know is if I picked you up by the scruff of the neck and dropped you into the Thames, would it sizzle? Be ablaze by the Spirit. I don't know about you, but I've sat around a lot of fire pits the last few weeks as we've been able to meet with people. And I hesitate to think what it's done to my health sitting around these fire pits. But you know what it's like when you sit around a fire pit? You stink, don't you, the next few days? You pick up your coat off the peg and it's like, ugh, stink. You smell of fire. You sit around fire, you will smell of fire. You seek the Holy Spirit, you will. People will see God in you. You'll smell of the Holy Spirit. People will see it in you. The more we get filled, and we need to be set on fire. So often in the church, we're a bit like the scout badge. You know, you get those scout badges where you get your fire starter badge and you stick it on, and then you never again light a fire. You know, I got filled with the Holy Spirit once. I got my badge. We need to build the fire again. You know, we need to cry out for God to come in power. And I think there's a danger for people like you and me who go to churches that really value the work of the Holy Spirit, that we can remember times gone by, and it's as if we come to church and we sit around an empty grate. But no one is interested in empty. Who sits around a fire pit that's not burning? And we remember the times when it used to burn. We call to build the fire again, and to call out for God's Spirit to come and light that fire. You never have to advertise fire. Word gets round. You won't have to do a social media campaign if we're set on fire with God's Spirit. People will come.
And they'll come and they'll turn to him and they'll become Christians and they'll follow him because we are ablaze with the Spirit. We won't have to do anything. That's what happened in the fellowship of believers in Acts. They're on fire with Jesus. And people came and were added to their number. You and I need the infilling of the Spirit. I know that last week you were talking about blessing the city. It's our heart as well as a church at NCS. Being blessed in order to bless the city. That Jeremiah passage. Bless the city in the place where you've been planted. We won't be able to do that unless we have something to bless them with, unless we are filled continuously with the Holy Spirit. When we're talking with neighbours, we need this filling of the Holy Spirit to give us the words. When we're in our workplaces tomorrow, we need the filling of the Holy Spirit so that we demonstrate what the kingdom of God looks like in the way that we do our work, in the way that we love people, in the way that we speak to people, in the way that we say no to certain things that would compromise what it means to follow Jesus. We need the infilling of the Spirit in our families to help us to be the faithful witnesses. I'm just going to finish by reading Jeremiah 17, which is that passage which talks about being trees planted by streams of water. I think that we often talk about the Holy Spirit being like living water. You know that story of John 4, where Jesus goes to the Samaritan woman and says, she says, "Can you give me some water?" He says, "I've got water for you that you'll never thirst." Streams of living water. That's what the Holy Spirit will give us. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Can I ask you to stand? I'm just going to pray a prayer and then Tom. I'm just going to pray that God would come. I'm going to pray that he would plant us by streams of living water. And that he would fill us with his life-giving water, his Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Plant us by the streams of your living waters. Lord, we long to be the people who give you glory and honor. We long to be people like Peter and those first disciples, as they were filled with the Spirit, who have a boldness and confidence for who they are. Lord, where we have stumbled, maybe, where we have struggled, Lord, would you fill us with your Spirit and remind us again of who you are and who we are as your precious sons and daughters. I pray that over each one of us this evening, over those of us who are watching online, that we would know by your Holy Spirit, just how precious we are, that we are your children. And in that place, Lord, would you give us a boldness? Would you set our hearts on fire with love for you this evening, Lord? Would you give us a boldness to be able to be filled with your Spirit? Give us a boldness, Lord, to be able to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. Fill us again, Lord, we pray. Lord, this is your church. This is your beautiful church. One day you will come back again and you will claim your bride. Fill your church, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Fill your people with your Holy Spirit. May we be a beautiful place of worship to you, that all honor and glory goes to you. This is your church, Lord. All honor and glory goes to you. Fill us again. Build your church, Lord. by your Holy Spirit. And may we have the privilege and honor to see many people come to know you. As you bless us, Lord, may we be a blessing to others. May we see many people. I pray for this wonderful church here, Lord. Thank you so much for all that you have done, for the fires of the past. And we pray for more again, Lord. We pray for your fire again. Come, Holy Spirit. Come fill this place. Come be glorified in this place. May many people come to know you. May this be a foretaste of the heavenly realms breaking through into this place. Your kingdom come in STC as in heaven. Amen.